It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to our program. It's always good to be with you. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Well, as you know, people are falling in love with AI companions over the internet. You can't make this stuff up. What's next? Will we see political candidates created through artificial intelligence? Of course. So many of the Democrats seem artificially programmed already. People like Beto O'Dork, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Zohran Mamkani, and who can forget my favorite, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who repeats scripted woke with the word ah peppered through each and every sentence. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Well, be of good cheer. My guests today are not AI, although they are here to talk about AI. For starters, say hello to my monthly co-host in the studio, not on the phone. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. And again, it's great to be in the studio. I love being on the show, but when I can come here and be in the studio, it's just a lot more fun.
Because on the phone, you can't see me.
Well, well, it is. You know, it's good to make eye contact and stuff. And I brought along a friend of ours that...
No stranger to our program either.
No, been on with us before, Stephen Hasselbeck. Good friend from a long time.
Hey, both to you, Jim, and to Bob. Great to be back. Great to be in the studio. It's a whole different dynamic when you're in here. I agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Steve is with us.
He's kind of the more innovative,
well, he's a technical guy.
One,
yeah,
so we wanted to bring him in to talk about this.
Very tech savvy. And I'm sort of a Neanderthal when it comes to trying to figure stuff out. But our lives are affected by it. So we're going to talk about some of this stuff tonight. Man.
Well, you know, some people don't believe there really were Neanderthals, but I think the 4 years of Biden kind of put that idea
wow, to rest. Okay.
I think we can safely say now that there is proof that they exist.
And a nice segue there, because one of the controversies going on is the AutoPen, you know, and that's part of this technological nightmare. Did Joe Biden actually sign half the stuff that he signed? And if he did, does he remember it?
They've already admitted that he didn't, that they use it. One person already said he wasn't even in the room, but I was given permission from somebody else. So it's not a matter of what they're going to discover. It's a matter of whether somebody's going to be held accountable.
Right.
I say no big name will be held accountable. Some guy that took out the trash or was some flunky that ran out to get him a sandwich, maybe he'll go to jail. I don't think anything's going to happen.
No, I don't. That. And AutoPen, from what I understand, I've tried to research this, is not in and of itself illegal.
As long as he's there and he's authorizing it and he's got to know what the stupid AutoPen pen is doing.
Yeah, well, and this is
I don't think the guy even knew what an auto pen was before he came in.
I don't know, at least for the last year, maybe for 4 years, I'm not sure he was cognizant about it. I'm not sure.
He wasn't the sharpest tool in the sheds 30 years ago.
Well, you're right about that.
I admit
that.
He's having special mental problems now, but even when his brain was on four thrusters, he was not the sharpest tool in the shed.
And I don't want to sound like I don't have compassion, but I think when you've got the person holding the highest office in the land, the leader of the free world, etc., all those cliches, if he's mentally incompetent, that's a scary thing.
Well, here's what's interesting. If they can keep it a secret, or it wasn't much of a secret, but if they can try to keep it a secret that he's mentally incompetent, and if during the 2020 election he could run from his basement because they didn't want to let him out, why is it so hard for people to connect the dots and say the entire 2020 election was a fraud, especially when mail-in balloting was being justified because of COVID? States were unconstitutionally changing their election laws. That much we already knew. What's interesting is when Trump was interviewed by Hannity over this whole thing with Putin, he went on again and started talking about the 2020. Now, you know how much Hannity loves to agree with Trump. He looked concerned. He was being careful. He did say, well, it would be nice to not have mail-in balloting, but he wasn't saying much else, because I don't know if people remember, in the few days after that election, Sean and some of the others and Tucker, they were talking about the alleged fraud. Fox News suddenly went dark.
Yeah.
Lou Dobbs got canceled almost overnight. There's some memo at Fox that they're not allowed to talk about. Greg Gutfeld will make a little joke about it. You can see he's flirting and pushing the envelope when he does it. But I think with Trump being in office now and with everything else they're uncovering, I predict that's the next shoe that's finally going to drop. Well, we're going to finally have people admit that this happened.
It'll be interesting to see who or if anybody is charged with anything and then what the repercussions are. I think some of the big things that a lot of us have feared for some time, I don't know that they're going to be able to go after Hillary and Obama.
Well, between statute of limitations and half of them being pardoned ahead of time before any crime was even named.
Yeah, so
who knows?
I don't know that we'll see anything productive out of that. So we're going to go back. We've been talking the last few minutes about artificial unintelligence, and now we're going to go back to AI and see what's going on there. Now, this isn't artificial intelligence per se, but
it's beyond your regular computer.
It's under the big umbrella.
This
technology.
Is a computer starting to think for itself, or allegedly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in town visiting, and my wife rented a little Airbnb down in Mission Bay at Crown Point. Lovely place. Just very delightful. And I know my way around the city. I grew up here. I know pretty much everything, where things are. But I get in the car and I plug in my Maps program, and it's the Apple Maps thing because I don't do Google. I don't like Google at all. Anyway, so I put the thing in and I'm thinking, you know, I just go down here, go down to Garnett Street, turn right, go get on I-5 and come straight up here. No. And because I'm obedient, I'm listening to this app, this map app, and it takes me on I-8 East, and then to 163, and then to 805, and at that point, I can't do anything about it, and traffic, even for a Sunday, it was a little tough, and I thought, why did I listen to this machine? I'm telling you, folks, rage against the machine.
Yeah, really, really.
Okay.
Well, we should let our expert say something, because we've been doing all the talking, and he's got all the knowledge here.
Well, my take on AI is it's here to stay. It's never going to go away. It's only going to improve. It's algorithms, and it's, you know, they don't call any error that an AI system makes as a mistake. They call them hallucinations. But it's going to accomplish too much for everybody just to say, well, let's stop using it.
Do you see any upside of it at all? I think we're all aware of a lot of the horrible potential problems. If used properly, do you see any positive side to the AI?
Absolutely. I work for a technology company, and we're encouraged to use it all the time, and it becomes more and more efficient, and it helps you accomplish more things quickly and usually more accurately. So just under the heading of efficiency is one area that it has the potential to really revolutionize many, many businesses and processes. There's AI modules out for everything now, including lots of efficiency built into how business works. You can't get away from it. If you have a Microsoft account at all, for example, it's just built into it now. It's built into your calendar. It's built into your email. It will summarize emails for you. It'll help you compose them. It'll help you categorize things very quickly.
I got a new iPhone recently, but I turned the AI off. I was going to check my emails and it was summarizing, and I was just going, I really don't want this.
You think you turned it off.
Well, yeah.
Well, I just recently got a brand new iPhone myself. My old one died finally, and I left mine on just to see what it was like. And yeah, there's some things that are a little creepy, but other areas I find it kind of intriguing.
Well, now that you mentioned it, I do seem to recall as I was turning it off, a little voice saying, just what do you think you're doing there, Dave?
I can't do that, Dave.
If you don't know the movie we're referencing, everybody has got to see the movie 2001, especially with the breakthrough in AI. That was the theme of that movie. Yeah. It had special effects that hold up today, but you need to understand, in those days, those special effects were so revolutionary. People were glued to the screen. Now, you'd be bored by them because of Lucas and all that stuff. And you just say, you don't want to see the ship fly around the station for 30 minutes.
It does seem slow moving now.
But it's worth, imagine what it would have looked like in those days, and the story is worth it. And there's several themes to it, but one of them is artificial intelligence.
Read the book.
Of the best drama between man and computer you'll ever see.
It is. I read the book, and the book was
less
much better because it explained things. Now, here, rabbit trail. Do you know where Hal got his name?
I heard that once, but I don't remember. I better get on my AI program right now, and I can pretend I do know.
Okay. H-A-L are the three letters that precede I-B-M. Oh, that's really? Where Hal got his name. I'm not making this up.
I didn't know that.
Okay. We can give...
Interesting. Yeah, and it reminds me of another word, H-E-L-L, the more I think about artificial intelligence.
I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that.
But I will say...
It can only be attributed to human error.
That's right. Is all the expansion of efficiency and productivity and reporting and analyzing business trends and things like that, it's going to be phenomenal for a lot of businesses. But on the same token, the downside, the dark side of AI is just one heck of a lot of people are going to lose their
jobs.
Yeah,
it's not going to be too phenomenal for the many people that are out of work.
It cuts across every boundary, every discipline of job types.
We used to think the arts... Yeah. We're safe. Remember the program in the 1960s, My Favorite Martian?
Oh, yeah.
They had an episode there, and this was just a sitcom, but it was about computers. And at the end of the episode, this guy says, computers are a wonderful thing, but have you ever known a computer that could write a story or paint a painting or compose a song? So we who are in the arts, I can't paint, but I am a writer, I'm a novelist. We who are in the arts always took solace in that. And now they have computers that could write novels. I have a novel coming out this week, and I've told the publisher under no circumstances, even in the proofreading, even in uploading it to Amazon, is any AI to be done. Because I don't trust that thing to not go in and just rewrite my whole blasted novel for me.
On our way out here, we stopped in Tucson. We've had Brian Slagle on this show before, and he lives out there, and we stopped and visit Brian. He's a musician, among other things. And he said, watch this. I went over to his desk. He has a program, the AI program, and he says, write a country western song. And in about a minute and a half, it wrote an entire song, verses and chorus. And, you know, it asked, what key
do
you want?
Was it called A Boy Named Sue?
No, but it was a good song. And this AI thing just made it up in a minute and a half.
Well, the things I'm seeing, you could tell they're AI, but I agree with Steve. It's going to get better, and soon we won't be able to tell. Okay, hold that thought. We will be right back if the artificial intelligence of the station allows us to.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our program live from the People's Republic of California. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my guests, Jim Barrier and Steve Hesselbeck.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good. It's good to be here in your republic. Now, you know, there's a little banter goes on. I'm a native San Diegan, a third generation native San Diegan, so I have deep roots here. But I've been gone for a long time, and I live in the last free state in the Union. That would be the great Republic of Texas. And there's such a culture shift when I come out here. And in Texas, it's popular for people to say, if you leave California and move here, don't bring your politics, because that happens. And I'm going to change that after this visit this week. I'm going to start saying, if you move from California to Texas, don't bring your bad driving habits here. Nothing to do with AI.
We can't argue with you on that. We have the coast and we have the weather, and that's about all we've got these days. I would have said better things before.
Oh, Mexican food.
Mexican food
every day. I've been here, Mexican food every day, and I love that.
No, so every time you guys don't need to know, last time Jim was in town, he's always talking about how he loves the Mexican food. So I was all ready to take him to a Mexican restaurant, and he tells me about this little seafood place that he was enamored with. We still ended up going to Mexican anyway, but I'm finally offering to take him out for Mexican food. He wants to go get seafood instead.
Point Loma seafood. Steve and I have eaten there.
Well, I love seafood, but yeah. I was trying to accommodate you because I'm always hearing about Mexican food when you went.
Again, rabbit trail here, but my brother-in-law, Don Ironside, that was his name, passed away recently, and that's why I'm in town. We took his ashes out in the Pacific and spread his ashes, and that was the initial reason for coming out here. Well, he told me for years, you got to go to Point Loma Seafood. They have the best fish sandwich in the world, and I thought, how good could a fish sandwich be? And folks, this is a free plug. The best fish sandwich you'll ever eat is at Point Loma Seafood, and there you have it. And I've been there already this week.
And in the future, we're going to have artificially intelligent rabbit trails. How's that for a segue back?
Nice.
Yep. Continuing thought?
Well, we are created in the image of God, and God gives us free will. He gives us creativity and thought and the ability to express ourselves. And the one thing I don't like that I see now in AI is a lot of the dialogue and material that is sent that you read suddenly starts sounding the same. You can almost tell right off the bat that it was read or composed by some sort
of... Well, at the moment, I'm glad that's true. Yeah, yeah. I'm just afraid that will not be true for long, that they'll get better at covering it up.
And I just wonder, you know, as we progress along further and further and AI does more and more, we have to think less and less. Where does that end to the point where AI does all your thinking for you? And pretty soon, you're not really being as creative as you used to be. You're not, you're challenging yourself in your thinking and pressing ahead with some really critical, hard things that you have to push through and think about. It's all being done.
And it only thinks as well as the liberals that program it.
Oh, boy.
Go do a search on the Israelis and Palestinians and watch AI's explanation from it. It's not even remotely related to anything.
Well, they've been
historical.
Able to do that without machines, but
Makes it easier. Because the same bozos are programming the AI.
Yeah.
Now, conservatives can program it, too. I understand that.
Yeah.
But at the moment, that's not what's happening for the most part.
Well, and speaking of conservative, there's a guy that I kind of like, Elon Musk, and he was very popular until he sided with Trump, and now people hate him. Funny how that works. You have a story you told me about Elon Musk. Can you share that with us?
Okay, I'll try to make it brief. Before working for the company that I'm working for now, I spent 35 years in video and television production and live events, all kinds of interviews, things like that. And I did quite a few technology conferences over the years where tech industry giants and leaders and CEOs were interviewed, and they would often talk about their latest innovation or some new product they were coming out with. And I found it down through the years always very interesting. They had Elon on one day, and I was in the back. You know, we had this whole studio set up for this interview, and he was really upset about where AI was going even back then. This was, you know, probably a good 5 years ago or so, maybe a little longer. And his concern was that he saw the potential of where this could possibly go. And so he created a consortium of businesses that he asked that they would sign an agreement that if you are a developer of AI material or modules or systems or algorithms that you would agree to provide a backdoor into any system should it in the future become self-aware or run amok or refuse to obey normal commands, refuse to shut itself off when you told it to or pushed a button. He asked for every company to sign agreements to allow a backdoor of some sort.
And are they signing those agreements?
Most of them did. And he kept alluding to a particular company, which I'm not at liberty to tell, but there is one company that refused it, and they are...
Is it a Chinese company?
Not allowed to say. Not allowed to say.
But they are the leader of AI, and they do not want to provide a backdoor into their system.
You know...
But the point is he was extremely concerned where
this would
go.
And that's a very valid concern.
Because we've already had examples where scientists have had AI modules talk to other AI modules and overnight create their own languages. They come in the morning and they're dialoguing away with coding and language that they never seen before.
Yeah.
And they go to try to shut.
Which means a computer program can now program itself or program another computer.
Yeah, these systems found a much more efficient way to communicate than the way we taught them to communicate.
See, science fiction tried to warn us of this for years.
I'm telling you. Skynet. Westworld. We're talking Skynet here.
Yeah, it's the Skynet, the company in Terminator.
Terminator,
yeah. And Michael Crichton, when he wrote the novel Jurassic Park, which was way better than the movie.
Yeah.
And there they're talking about cloning, but similar principle. He was saying scientists don't ask themselves if they should do something. They only ask themselves if they can do something. And we need to be asking the should question.
And this gets back into your field as an apologist and mine as a pastor. There is an absence of a moral code in our culture right now. So what's your frame of reference? What's your anchor? What's the compass for determining shoulds and knots. It's kind of anything goes. If it benefits me and my company and we make more money, then yeah, we should.
Steve was talking about how we're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
A part of the image of God is God creates, we can create. And that includes the creation of a computer program. Now, one of the big questions is, can a computer or an android or a robot ever someday develop sentience and self-awareness? I'm no scientist, but I submit just from a spiritual, biblical point of view, it's not impossible because in the Tower of Babel narrative, God said nothing they decide to do will be impossible. Well, if we're made in the image of God and God can do anything, that makes sense. Now, he meant collectively, but what concerned him apparently is that we had fallen into sin.
Yeah.
God didn't mind us having the knowledge and the ability, but we no longer have the wisdom that goes with it. And I think that Tower of Babel story is a stunning warning, and we're experiencing another Tower of Babel right now.
I think so, and we could do another rabbit trail here. I have a theory about the Tower of Babel that it was a tower to get to the heavens. I think it was possibly an observatory to observe the heavens, and they were studying the stars and the planets and but that's just my theory, folks. That's not in the Bible. That was just out of my little head.
Well, whatever they were trying to do, God was concerned that they didn't have wisdom to go with their knowledge.
Yeah.
That's our problem.
That
today was
the problem.
Speaking of Elon, you know, he developed many years ago what's called the Neuralink.
Yes.
And to his credit, you know, that's been a stumbling block for many scientists for a long, long time. For people that, you know, need some help, some of the neurons are not firing correctly.
See, this is where AI performs a good service, I think.
Right. Well, what happens when you merge the Neuralink to AI?
Then you get the Borg from Star Trek The Next Generation.
See, we're on sci-fi night tonight, folks.
I may not know science, but I sure know sci-fi. And I think some science fiction writers tried to warn us about a lot of things.
Oh, it's been going on for a long
time.
If
only we've been paying attention and listening.
You know, in Europe, they started deploying, mostly in Britain right now, but they've started deploying new traffic cameras that don't just nail you if you run a red light. Or if you're going to
probably
fast,
prints your ticket out for
now,
you.
Now it observes whether or not your seatbelt was on, whether you're fooling with your phone or not. It can tell. If you drive by 70 miles an hour, kilometers an hour, whatever, and it can tell you're not paying attention. You're looking down at your phone or you're actually playing with your phone, and they'll send you a ticket for it.
And another nod to the artist, George Orwell, 1984.
Yeah,
Big Brother. There you have it right there.
You know, I'm almost in favor of that because I've been run off my lane a couple of times by people fooling around with their phone. And
well,
so,
you can be in favor of it. I get traffic tickets. I think the idea sucks.
Well, don't drive in Europe. That's the answer to that one.
I wouldn't want to drive in Europe.
Speaking of driving, we're probably going to come up on a break here pretty soon. My daughter works for a company, and this is a fairly new thing. She drives cars, and what it is, it's major company, major American auto manufacturer, and they've had a lot of recalls because of some of the stuff that they put in cars, and particularly electric cars and stuff. But she goes and picks up the car at the customer's house, takes it to the dealer, and they fix it, and then she returns the car back to the home of the owner of the car. And she said when they make the appointment, the customer has no idea, but the lady who calls to set up the appointment is AI. It's automated. It's not a real human being. And she says, you could never tell. You would never know it's not a human. She's eloquent.
I would know, because I usually get outsourced to India when I need some customers.
Oh, no.
And they're reading off the, hello, Mr. Seiko, how are you? I think I'll know immediately if it's AI racist. Instead of that.
You racist.
It could be India. It could be anywhere. You know my point.
Oh, Bob, yeah. But she says it's foolproof. It sounds just like a human being, and voice inflection and everything, and it's polite and it's empathetic. And everything, and it's just AI, it's a machine talking to the customer, and they have no idea. So if you got a call recently from Motor Company and a nice lady called you, guess what? She's not real.
It's like if you can even get customer service, you call anybody on the phone today and this recording comes on about how you could have checked them out online. It's like, hi, say, what a fool you are that you didn't check us out online and you're calling us on the phone. Hey, or you could download the app. Well, let's download our break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle, so when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once, because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, and it's time now for our show within a show, another episode of Stump Jim Barrier. Speech!
All right. Well, I had to look up some AI to tell me what song should I do for Jim.
Well, I already know the answer. It was Paul McCartney, Live and Let Die. Oh, you have another one.
Yeah, I do. In all seriousness, though, Jim, first off, I want to say welcome to the studio. It's so good to have you back. And yeah. Steve, same thing with you. So glad to have you guys back. Today for you, I took your challenge again. I tried to find an obscure 60s song for you.
Oh, my. Okay.
I hope it's obscure enough. It only made it up to number 10. On the charts at the time. So, we're going to the year 1966 for this one. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's have it.
All right, here we go.
Oh, I know it.
That was quick. All right, you want to play a little bit, or do you want to guess right now?
No, it's a trick. Okay. This is a trick question because it is not Van Morrison and Them.
It is not, yes. This is a cover.
Yeah, it is. Is it a cover? And it is the Belfast Gypsies singing Gloria.
It is not the Belfast Gypsies.
Oh, no! What is it? Who is it?
This is
how the mighty have fallen. Long live the king.
This is the Shadows of Night.
Shadows of Night. You know, very good. That is obscure. And I remember that. Great song.
Now I recognize it.
Yeah.
Until they started singing Gloria, I didn't recognize
it. How about that? Well, yeah.
But you got the original artist. I'll give you credit for that. Them from
Van Morrison. And the Belfast Gypsies also recorded it and had a hit. But I forgot about the Shadows of Night. Well done.
Thank you.
That's good. You did better than your baseball team today. So
you know, I think if we did some redistricting with these songs, you might do a little better.
Okay. Nice. I think that's possible. You know, out where I live, they're talking about Texas is redistricting as they put the map up and the colors on the thing it spells out the Whataburger logo. And they're real big on it. Well done, Brandon. You know, you got me this time.
Thank you, Jim.
Did I get a point for knowing the title of the song?
I 100% should say.
And the author of the song. So, you know.
Speaking of Whataburger, I love Whataburger.
Yeah.
And you know In-N-Out?
Yes.
As far as California, the name has changed to Out.
Out.
Yeah.
And you know what? We have them where I live now, and I go there frequently. If I'm going to have a burger, that's where I go. And there is a war going. I had somebody on Facebook unfriend me because I said I liked In-N-Out better than Whataburger.
Somebody needs to get a life.
That's a dear
They're going to unfriend you over a burger. They need to get a life.
Well, Texans are just funny about things.
That's a close friend.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so crazy. You know, Texans, they say you can tell a Texan. You can't tell them much, but you can tell. They're very proud of everything out there, and it's good to be proud of. Now, I saw another one. This is great. And this was one of my California friends posted this, and it said there was a tornado warning in Dallas, and everybody headed to the Cowboy Stadium because there's no chance of a touchdown there. Okay.
Sound effects. Come on, Brennan. We need sound effects.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Thank you.
Well, we've never heard of an artificially intelligent hamburger yet, and there's our segue once again.
Yeah.
Back to the topic.
You know, since I brought up tornadoes and twisters, I'm going in November to the Sphere. It's this big, crazy theater, big round sphere, and they do shows there, concerts and stuff. And I'm going to go see The Wizard of Oz in the Sphere, and they call it an immersive experience. So it's the movie, but it's enhanced by AI.
Great.
And so you're in this theater, and it's very Disney-like, what I've read about it. You know, if you ever went to Captain EO or some of those shows where there's wind, they have it in the chairs and stuff, and you feel the wind and the moisture and whatever, all the stuff, and there are shakes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, you know, if AI wanted to make itself useful, there was an important number that got cut from The Wizard of Oz after the previews. It's supposed to be a musical.
The Jabberwocky.
No, not that one. But there's another one, more important. The revised Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, when she kills the Wicked Witch of the West. You watch that in the movie, they immediately cut back to them talking to Oz. They're singing that all the way back to Emerald City. It was cut from the preview, and they've lost the footage. It's on the soundtrack. And there's even a little clip of that you can see, because when they reissued it, they showed it in previews. Now, if AI wanted to make itself useful, they could take the little little bit of footage that they have and just artificially recreate. It's supposed to be a musical, and they cut the final musical number. The last 20 minutes of that movie, there's no singing, and it's supposed to be a musical.
Yeah. I bet they do.
It would balance it out much better.
I think that's something
that would be productive.
They probably will do that in this, from what I haven't seen any real clips. I've only read reviews and comments about it, but that's what they said. They've added some stuff and put things that were not in the film as it released. So
are they putting that Jitterbug one back in there?
They might.
Yeah.
I saw the movie in a theater one time, and that was quite an experience because I grew up watching it on TV. Every year we watch Wizard of Oz. So I'm looking forward to that. But it does have AI in it. I will give you a review after I've seen it.
That will be very interesting.
Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration is authorizing AI modules to simulate clinical trials. Think about that for a minute.
Wow, that sounds kind of scary.
This is for drug and vaccine development. Let an algorithm do the clinical trials for you.
You know, after the last few years and our experiences with vaccines and such, that's terrifying to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. That takes two terrifying ideas, the Food and Drug Administration and artificial intelligence, and it just puts them all together. Yeah. We're in this big apocalyptic movie. We're living it out right now.
We are. It's crazy stuff. And rabbit trail number three. When the vaccine came out, which now I understand they were actually developing it before the virus was released.
They probably invented the virus to promote the vaccine. I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Made a lot of money. When it came out, I had concerns, and Leslie worked for a doctor at one time. He's a brilliant man. He was the head of the emergency hospital in Tyler, and then he had his own clinic, and he was a really brilliant guy, and she called him immediately, and he sent like a 10-page printout about the thing, and he said, absolutely do not take the vaccine. And then I was talking to a significant other of a friend of mine's daughter, and he's in the pharmaceutical industry, and he said, I'm not getting it. And then my favorite was our friend Winky Prattney. You guys,
I know Winky.
And he's in New Zealand, and they were really strict about it there. And they confirmed, said, why won't you get vaccinated? And he said, because I'm a scientist. And so I got a doctor, a scientist, and a pharmaceutical expert all saying no. So I didn't do it. Well, and people were riding me, calling me anti-vax. And
I refused to get it. And originally I was thinking, yeah, I don't have a problem with vaccines. If they come out with one, I'll take it. I'd rather have that than the freaking mask.
Yeah.
But when they were starting to mandate it and people were getting fired from their jobs, I decided I needed to show solidarity with those who didn't want to get it. So I didn't get it purely for that reason. As time went on, I found out there were good medical scientific reasons for which I'm very glad I didn't get it. But originally, it was just an act of protest on my part.
Well, and I was in line with you on that because people, when it first came out, and I wouldn't get the vaccination because of these individuals I spoke with, and people were calling me names and stuff. And I said, I'm not anti-vax. I've had almost every vaccination because I travel to the third world a lot and I do mission trips. And so I've had, malaria and diphtheria and hepatitis and everything. I said, I'm not anti-vax. I'm anti-government coercion.
Well, Biden accidentally revealed that it didn't work when he said the vaccinated need to be protected from the non-vaccinated. That's not saying much for the effectiveness of the vaccine, is it? Okay, we'll be right back.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Okay, we're down to our last segment, and we want to give Steve some time because he has some more things to say to us about this harrowing, good and bad, kind of a mixed review, but certainly you see the good side of it, and that's fair and balanced, as they say. But we want to hear your concerns, too, with artificial intelligence. You've shared some, but I think you have some more devastating things.
Well, one quick one that I can think of is I did a medical conference not long ago for Cedars-Sinai, and they had a researcher there that had engaged an AI company to help them develop tools to do repetitive diagnostic testing analysis more efficiently. And he showed us the audience an example of it, where a good example is most hospitals have to deal with a patient that walks in the room or the door complaining of chest pains. And because they don't know what's going on, they don't know how serious this is, you know, could be just indigestion for some people, they run a battery of tests. Well, all of those tests have to be evaluated very quickly by someone on staff there. And so they have about three or four physicians that evaluate standard cardiology testing that's done at just about any major hospital. And they train this AI tool to do this testing. Now, these three or four physicians would spend several hours each running, compiling all these tests. And there's a battery of them. It's not just simple EKG. You know, they do all sorts of standardized tests. But anyway, he showed how the AI module could do all four of these doctors, all of their tests, in just about 60 seconds with a whole lot more precision than what they were coming up with.
Amazing.
And so I'm thinking, well, you know, a highly trained physician, you know, he's probably safe from this kind of new technology that could take away their jobs. No, not true at all. And it could go on and on. Think of air traffic controllers. We have a critical shortage of air traffic controllers in the United States. Well, there's your perfect example of a tool that could do it all for you. Mm. And it could go on and on and on. So the frightening part for me is all the job losses.
And we don't have a lot of ethics in the medical community right now anyway. What if some machine just decides that we need to sacrifice some people for the good of the majority? I mean,
sure, it could go on and on.
If people can make those kinds of decisions and they're programming these machines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liken, I promised Bob I would bring this up. I liken AI to the ring in the Lord of the Rings. Every time Frodo would be tempted to use the ring, he would fight it. He'd pull it out of his pocket. He'd stare at it. He'd see his hand shaking and quivering as he held it, and he'd put it back in his pocket. AI is a lot like that. It's so powerful and so tempting, you feel compelled to use it. But it came at the cost of Frodo's soul, because every time he actually used it, slipped it on, disappeared, slipped through enemy lines and all that, and finally took it off, it cost him a little bit of his own soul. And as you recall, at the very end, he was using it so frequently.
He felt he was injured beyond repair.
Beyond repair. It almost killed him.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, is a perfect example of where AI is going to go. Is if you keep using it and relying on it, it comes at the cost of your own personal, who you are as a person, your own soul. You no longer are thinking for yourself or critical analysis. analysis for yourself because a computer can do it better than you. So then you're really not even needed. You know, and that's where all this talk about a guaranteed income comes in. Because if all these jobs are going to be lost, who's going to pay for all this unemployment? They'll have to come up with an ingenious way to tax AI to pay for all the people that are going to be permanently without jobs.
Or they'll have to elect another Democrat. But that's a great analogy, the Lord of the Rings. And you know, I'm thinking along with you, and I'm thinking, okay, the ring was made by the elves,
right?
But it was manufactured, but then it began to have power, and it kept talking about the ring is calling me, the ring is doing this, and it was a created thing, and then it became powerful.
Exactly.
And that's a great analogy.
Yeah. So it's hard to say where this is all going. And this is the frightening part is this is just the start of it. 25, 30 years from now, maybe even less. I work a lot in video production, and the early examples of AI editing, AI photo manipulation had some laughable moments to it. Like, you know, it couldn't do fingers and toes very well. It couldn't do a cat's tails very well.
But eventually it will do all of those things well.
Now it's becoming very, very accurate. They're creating visual interpretations of people. I can see why they went on the actor strike.
And in Hollywood, they won't need to hire actors. They won't need to hire writers.
Writers, composers.
Exactly right. So, like, I was even warned, don't put your own voice on your voicemail. Opt out of that and just choose the generic one because that can be sampled and replicated perfectly, and then it can get you to say anything.
Well, with me being on the radio and putting things up on my computer, my voice is all over the
place.
So
you're the guy who called me last night.
Yeah, right.
And I decided not to buy that timeshare.
Bob Siegel called me and told me to vote for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, there's a clue.
That sounded...
Well, you know, that's all legitimate. Those are legitimate concerns. Now, 25, 30 years from now, I guess I won't worry much. I'll be 100 years old, and if I'm still around, I'll be happy about that, you know. But
well, what kind of safeguards are artists and others doing? Like, is the day going to come when platforms like Amazon just kick their writers off because they could write all the books themselves?
That's a good point.
And they why pay a royalty to a writer when they can just do it all themselves and then they don't have
it's to... one of the reasons this Screen Actors Guild strike lasted as long as it did, because they had to drill down.
We need to have some judgments and some decisions and some human rights along with this. Otherwise, we're just done society.
Exactly. And then we start talking about artificial intelligence built into humanoid type robots.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then where are we going?
And I have no doubt that they're going to be able to replicate that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's coming.
Well, they can already put robotic legs on human beings that lost it. We're already seeing the $6 million man.
Yeah, got a robotic knee right now.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've seen some of these, you know, some of the robots they're building, they're so lifelike in their movements and stuff. It's kind of scary.
And the people that are falling in love with artificial intelligence companions over the internet, well, why not? It's telling them everything they want to hear. It's always complimenting them.
How does all of this, we've talked about it before, but how does this tie into all of the people who have the last days mania? Does that factor into some of the prophetic things, Daniel and Revelation? I don't know.
Well, you were mentioning before the show, and it didn't surprise me that some people think the beast will be artificially intelligent. I don't think that's true, but I don't doubt that when the real Antichrist comes, artificial intelligence will be something he'll use to accomplish his
maybe
means.
The false prophet. I don't know.
Yeah.
We live in crazy times, and in our lifetime, we've seen all of these things advance and change so fast. It's kind of scary.
There's more change in one or two of our years than what used to take 100 to 1,000 years as far as technology goes.
Exactly right. So,
well, gentlemen, it was a pleasure, and it always is an honor to be here with both of you.
Well, thank you.
Steve, I know Jim comes on once a month. You are welcome anytime on this show.
Thank you.
And you don't even have to call in. You can just shuffle on down to the station.
Just show up.
You got to do it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we have another minute. Any parting words from either of you?
Take it away, Jim. I've spoken enough.
Well, it's like that vaccine thing. I'm going to be very careful about what I swallow, what I take, what I allow into my life. So at this point, I've disabled anything that seems like AI on all of my devices. And I may not have even been able to do that. It may be so deep, it may be so embedded that I am not aware. But
good advice. And when I go to get my Slurpees from 7-Eleven, I am checking that Slurpee machine and those flavors twice.
I will only order from a person at the counter. I will not order at the kiosk at any of these places.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone,